The reason we're talking about hearts is that last week we went along to the British Cardiovascular Society, or BCS, conference in Manchester. It's supported by the British Heart Foundation, who are one of the world's largest heart charities. They spend more than £100 million each year on heart research. This year, the theme of the conference was what happens to the heart under extreme conditions. And later, we'll hear how crocodiles can stay submerged for hours at a time. But first, it's off to the sports arena. Tom spoke to St George's University of London heart specialist Sanjay Sharma.
Yes, I've got a very exciting job. I look after the hearts of football players, tennis players, and most individuals involved with the English Institute of Sport. Clearly, these people push themselves to their limits on a regular basis and exercise probably 10 to 15 times more than the current recommendations. And by doing so, they do develop a constellation of changes within the heart that we sometimes call the athlete's heart. Now, specifically, this involves a 10 to 20% increase in the thickness of the heart muscle and around a 10% increase in the cavities of the heart. The heart relaxes much, much more briskly than a normal heart and contracts more avidly than a normal heart during exercise. And these people, because their hearts are very, very big, they have quite a slow heart rate at rest because the heart doesn't have to do very much to pump 5 litres of blood around the body.
I'm glad that's true because I've heard that quite a bit and I've always wondered whether or not it's like a myth. But as an athlete, you do generally have a bigger, more powerful heart.
Oh yes, you have to. If you think about the fact that whilst we're sitting down here, we are pumping 5 litres of blood around the body. Now, when someone exercises, that goes up to between 25 to 30 litres of blood around the body. Now, that's okay if you're running for a bus and it's a short dash that's going to take 20 or 30 seconds. But when you're actually running for 2 or 3 hours and you've got to maintain that type of cardiac output, the only way you can do that is with the heart growing in size.
So in that sense, the heart really is like any other muscle in your body. By training a particular muscle, it grows larger and the heart is no different.
Absolutely. So people who train intensively at least 4 hours a week develop some of the changes I've just been talking about. And if they stop training, things go back to normal.
The extreme physical demands that sport professionals place upon themselves can have drastic consequences if their heart isn't working properly, though. There have been a number of recent examples of young athletes and footballers suffering from sudden death as a result of an underlying heart problem. Sadly, these can remain undiagnosed, often until it's too late. Dr. Amanda Varnava is a cardiologist at Hammersmith Hospital in London.
So about 1 in 300 of the population will harbour an inherited cardiac condition or a so-called sudden death syndrome. These can be structural problems of the heart where the heart muscle thickens or the heart enlarges, or electrical problems of the heart where the heart's structurally normal and the electricity becomes abnormal under certain conditions, particularly under sports and exercise.
That's quite high, 1 in 300.
Mm. Well, many of these conditions an individual can live with until they're well into their 90s and not even discover it, nor indeed get significant symptoms. But certain individuals will be at risk with or without exercise, higher risk individuals. And as a cardiologist, we see individuals that we make this diagnosis in and assess whether they're at high risk or not and counsel them and treat them appropriately. However, an individual who harbours one of these conditions will increase their risk of sudden death by up to 3 or 4-fold by competitive sports. And that's the issue that we're dealing with here.
Do they come and see you, or is there a sort of framework for people who are sports professionals, because there is that 1 in 300 risk, are they referred to you just for screening?
So individuals come through various mechanisms. One, of course, is if they have symptoms. The second is if they have family history. Certain sports disciplines screen their sportsmen, particularly in football, where the FA, for instance, have been leaders in this field, perhaps because they do attract more money and therefore have the resources to offer it. But they certainly are the standard bearers for screening. And by doing a questionnaire looking at family history and symptoms, by doing an ECG and echo, we're able to tease out those footballers who harbour one of these conditions.
Now, you made an interesting point there because you said sports men, and football has been very much something that men have participated in for a really long time. Is there very much data on sports women?
There is data. Reassuringly, as a woman, we have a far less chance of sudden death, even with one of these conditions. So overall, perhaps the risk of sudden death in a female athlete is perhaps up to 10 times less than it is for a male athlete. It's markedly reduced.
You know why?
I think that men adapt to exercise in different ways, both structurally and electrically. There are certain groups of men and certain ethnicities that for various genetic reasons will be at greater risk with a given condition. It is also the case that the sudden death that occurs in females is generally perhaps for the electrical problems, less the structural problems. So there are different conditions that affect athletes, male or female, differently and their risk accordingly.
What about ethnicity? As well, because what we're also seeing is, you know, when you go to the Olympics, people often say that this is in fact a trial of a person's genetics, really, isn't it? It's how genetically they're set up, because you always see stereotypically the Ethiopians can't be beaten on the marathon. They've got the perfect sort of genetic and evolutionary history for that. They're not terribly good at swimming, on the other hand. So there's certainly a strong genetic element. So to what extent does ethnicity also put you at risk of these disorders?
Well, ethnicity plays a huge role in both the way that the heart adapts in a normal physiological way to the exercise, but also, according to ethnicity, your risk will change. So black athletes, unfortunately, have up to a fivefold greater risk of sudden death due to these concealed conditions than their white peers. And again, the exact reason for that is unknown. Genetic variabilities and genetic risk markers are probably to play.
Amanda Varnava, and before her, Sanjay Sharma. And we'll hear more from Sanjay later in the show when we look at the benefits that modest exercise can bring.